I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning, and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Weekdays here for 2 hours from 9 to 11 o'clock. I give you a safe space if you're an independent thinker out there. God knows you need it. Today is Wednesday. Next hour, we will get into what we do every Wednesday, which is Hump Day Health, some natural health news you can use. We are scheduled to have Mary Jo Perry from Mississippi Parents for Vaccine Rights. I've got some questions. We are facing, obviously, an imminent rollout of one of, right now, I think the count is up to 3 vaccines. I saw last night, too, that apparently we're not going to have our choice. Whatever vaccine makes it to your geographic area is what you will be taking if you take a coronavirus vaccine. As this thing kicks off. So I got lots of questions about that. We're going to talk about what an mRNA vaccine is. This is a brand new technology. There are a lot of people out there that are not concerned about this. They're certainly willing to take a vaccine without any questions whatsoever because it's being touted so heavily on the news. And that's fine. I find it odd that we're taking a brand new technology that has never been delivered, never been deployed on the American people before, on any people anywhere in the world before, and we are willing to plunge this brand new technology into the bloodstreams of our children without even a question. And if you want to slow down a little bit and find out more about these things, you're some kind of a freak. It's, again, I don't understand the world I'm operating in now, but I more people than ever, I think, are at least wanting to get the information before they just blindly sign up for a rushed vaccine. So anyway, we'll talk about that, and if we have time outside of talking to Mary Jo, then we'll hit some other natural health topics. I've got a couple of quotes for today before we get into the show. This is a quote from James Bovard. He said, "Democracy is not freedom. Democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what to eat for lunch. Freedom comes from the recognition of certain rights which may not be taken, not even by a 99% vote." H.L. Mencken wrote, his quote of the day is, "The aim of public education is not to spread enlightenment at all. It is simply to reduce as many individuals as possible to the same safe level, to breed and train a standardized citizenry, to put down dissent and originality." And then there was this headline in the Babylon Bee that just cracked me up. You know, Andrew Cuomo got a Emmy. this is just part of the weird world we live in the just absolutely horrible entertainment and news organizations that we have in this country. Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, who has one of the worst records of fatalities in his state. I think New Jersey may be the only one that's worse. He got an Emmy for his COVID press conferences, which I guess makes sense in a country that has become all about surface things, not about any substance whatsoever. Results don't matter. It's how you present it. It's how it looks. Anyway, Andrew Cuomo got an Emmy for his press conferences after killing about 30 million people in a state, moving them into old folks' homes. The Babylon Bee ran a headline that said, "Just hours after being placed in Cuomo's possession, Emmy statue dies of COVID." Oh, I love them. They're always worth a visit just about every day. When you're feeling down, when the news is overwhelming, go to the Babylon Bee. Some clever guys working there. I wanted to do a little bit of economic stuff today because numbers are coming in. And Trump did a press conference yesterday. What we are seeing is a K-shaped recovery. I don't know if you've heard that term before, but it certainly seems to be the way we're headed. The K being the straight line down And then one line going up and one line continuing to trend down. The one line going up is the Elon Musks of the world, who eclipsed yesterday Bill Gates. They're kind of neck and neck at richest. Silicon Valley, the globalists, the big money people have gotten massively wealthier this year. I think they've added the billionaires in this country have added somewhere around $700 to $800 billion to their net worth this year. You think that's just an accident? You think they're just that smart? I'm just saying. So we have a K-shaped recovery for those at the top. Things are rocketing northwards for the average American, continuing to trend down. For the second week in a row, the number of Americans filing for first-time unemployment claims has risen. It printed this week at 778,000. They were expecting 730,000. And 742,000 last week. So unemployment claims on first-time unemployment claims have gone up. And again, this number is really almost quadruple of what a normal week is in a normal functioning economy. Yet we're told we're bouncing back. It's a rocket ship to the stars. Worse still, the aggregate number of Americans receiving unemployment benefits rose over 130,000 last week to well over 20 million. This is the first increase since September 11th. So it's not looking good out in Main Street. Elon Musk notwithstanding, things are not going particularly well. And, of course, this is at the hands of more lockdowns and COVID restrictions. Anybody who tells you, we were doing great until this COVID hit us, it had nothing to do with the pandemic. Had nothing to do with the disease. It had everything to do with the human reaction to that disease, which has just decimated our economy. But here's a good story about how Wall Street works. I love this one. This one's right up the Mike Madison alley. As a matter of fact, this first line in the story says this, in a nutshell, is how Wall Street works. Just 2 months after J.P. Morgan was fined a record $1 billion criminal monetary penalty. And of course, that was to make sure they paid the penalty. Nobody went to jail. Nobody got into any trouble. They paid $1 billion penalty. And our regulators, our SEC, these groups went out and touted how they had levied this record fine on a bank for malfeasance. Nobody, again, nobody goes to jail. Nobody gets into trouble. Try embezzling $13,000 from your employer or breaking into a home and taking a stereo, you'd get into more trouble than rigging the precious metal markets. But anyway, just 2 months after J.P. Morgan was fined a record $1 billion criminal monetary penalty for rigging the gold and silver markets, Reuters reported that J.P. Morgan, having clearly learned the tools of their gold rigging trade, has earned a record $1 billion in revenue so far in 2020 from trading, storing, and financing precious metals, vastly outperforming rival banks. The story goes on so that you understand what I'm getting at here. The math simplified. J.P. Morgan has spent $1 billion over the lifetime of its precious metals rigging, ensuring it has full indemnity from future manipulation claims, allowing it to make $1 billion in revenue in just 1 year. This is truly a remarkable internal rate of return and proving yet again that on Wall Street, crime not only pays, but has a 1 year payback period. So J.P. Morgan pays a $1 billion fine for a lifetime of manipulating the precious metals markets, and they just make that money right back in one single year. That is just the cost of doing business, much like pharmaceutical companies who pay record fines on some of their drugs, things like that, when they do billions and billions in sales. It becomes just the human life that might be lost to these industries. The criminality is just a cost of doing business, I would imagine, in projections, internal projections. They just kind of bake that into the cake. It would be a different story if they actually went to jail. You know, you make a different calculation if you think your freedom will be taken from you than if you think just part of your profit will be taken from you. See, out here in the little world, out with us little people, we are always at risk of ruin, being fired, being jailed, and paying a fine. At the upper levels, pretty much stays at the fine level, and it's just a small chunk of the profits that you make. Anyway, Trump did a press conference yesterday I wanted to cover, and I'm going to contrast – 2020 Donald Trump to 2016 Donald Trump. And maybe somebody can explain to me what I'm missing. I'll be right back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No, bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
I am fully aware I do not play nice with partisan talking points here. Pretty well established for anybody who listens to the show on a regular basis. But this show and myself, we are cursed with consistency here. And this is rare. If a Republican does something that is good, I'll praise it. And if a Democrat does the same thing, but it's still good because it's the same action, I'll praise it. And if a Democrat does something that's bad, I'll criticize it. And then if a Republican does that same bad thing, you know what I'll do? I'll criticize that too. It's a consistency that makes a lot of people very, very uncomfortable. I am aware of that. But if consistency is to be appreciated, then I think this show scratches an itch that many people may actually have, those who think for themselves and are driven by more principled things and ideological things, not so much partisan stuff. And so here we go. Donald Trump yesterday did a press conference on the heels of, and well, it's actually before. Today it was announced, as I just read to you, another 778,000 Americans just filed for first-time unemployment. The numbers of permanent unemployed right now or long-term unemployed have popped over 20 million, headed back up for the first increase since September 11th. The economy has been absolutely decimated, and we are having record, absolute smashing the record of small business closures across this country. So Trump went to address that yesterday in a press conference.
And I just want to congratulate everybody. The stock market, Dow Jones Industrial Average, just hit 30,000, which is the highest in history. We've never broken 30,000, and that's just despite everything that's taken place with the pandemic. I'm very thrilled with what's happened on the vaccine front. That's been absolutely incredible. It's nothing like that has ever happened medically, and I think people are acknowledging that, and it's having a big effect. But the stock market's just broken 30,000, never been broken, that number. That's a sacred number, 30,000. Nobody thought they'd ever see it. That's the ninth time since the beginning of 2020. And it's the 48th time that we've broken records during the Trump administration. And I just want to congratulate all the people within the administration that work so hard. And most importantly, I want to congratulate the people of our country, because there are no people like you. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
And there you go. We crossed 30,000, a bubble stock market and a rushed vaccine. What's not to love? So Donald Trump goes to the hold a quick press conference. He says, congratulations. So to the millions of people out there who are out of work, at least appreciate a high stock market. To the tens of thousands of small business owners who are closing their doors, don't you feel a little bit better knowing that the Federal Reserve has printed up enough money to blow a big, giant stock market bubble And what's really funny is what this lesson should be to you small business owners who are struggling through what we're seeing right now. Understand just how stupid you were to actually deploy your capital to open a business to provide goods and services to your fellow man when all you should have done is just taken that money and shoved it into the stock market, sat by the pool, then enjoyed the gains. Now, this is why I say I'm consistent. Because I'm critical of this press conference as people are hurting. Because that's not the Donald Trump that I voted for in 2016. Here is Donald Trump 4 years ago and the man that I voted for in 2016.
And believe me, we're in a bubble right now. And the only thing that looks good is the stock market. But if you raise interest rates even a little bit, that's going to come crashing down.
We saw that during the Trump administration when the Federal Reserve started raising interest rates just a tiny bit. They got up to around 2%. And Trump was screaming at the top of his lungs, "What are you doing? Lower the interest rates. They're trying to sabotage me. Bring those rates down." He wanted zero or negative interest rates. Now listen to what he says about the interest rates in the Federal Reserve again in 2016. Please excuse my consistency here. I know this is uncomfortable for some people.
"We are in a big, fat, ugly bubble, and we better be awfully careful. And we have a Fed that's doing political things. This Janet Yellen of the Fed. The Fed is doing political by keeping the interest rates at this level. And believe me, the day Obama goes off and he leaves and he goes out to the golf course for the rest of his life to play golf, when they raise interest rates, you're going to see some very bad things happen because the Fed is not doing their job. The Fed is being more political than Secretary Clinton."
And what we have right now is a press conference from that same guy touting the 30,000 stock market with zero interest rates, with the Federal Reserve doing exactly what he was accusing them of in 2016, keeping interest rates at zero and blowing up an even more massive bubble. It's bubblier. It's bigger. It's frothier. The elites have gotten wealthier over 4 years. They love the zero interest rates. For you and me, not so great. And the strange thing is, in this, I'm always open to what I might be missing because I feel like I'm being consistent. He didn't mention the trillions of dollars of newly printed debt to get us to this new bubblicious level. Right now, we currently have, as of yesterday, $27.3 trillion on the Treasury books. This is what's recognized as the U.S. national debt. You need to add on to that the $7.1 trillion on the Fed balance sheet. This is money that's got your name on it as collateral. It is the same thing as U.S. debt. It's just parked in a different place. That's $34.4 trillion. And that will definitely get you some good stock market returns. I will not deny that. All you have to do to boost your 401k and tell your children, look how great you're doing, is to take out loans in their name. You have to sell your children and your grandchildren into debt slavery, which is what we are doing right now, in order to cheer our own 401ks. It's one of the most irresponsible things I've ever seen generations of people do, and we're all guilty of it. The greatest generation, the baby boomers, and my generation, Generation X. We should be absolutely ashamed of ourselves. But for Trump to get behind a podium yesterday and cheer this bubble stock market is very depressing to me, and I cannot resist but be rather consistent about that. I was for him in 2016 when he said that. I'm absolutely opposed to the idea that this stock market is in any way, shape, or form a barometer of this economy, and the way we got there is just so absolutely phony. I was looking at the debt clock yesterday. Across the spectrum, all debt in the United States, $85 trillion. $85 trillion is the outstanding debt right now. That's public and private. And that does not include somewhere around $120 trillion of promises that governments across the board have made that they have no way to fund. And we are leaving. Boy, I want to use some cuss words here. That we are leaving this situation for our children and grandchildren, and we're supposed to actually be cheering this. And here's a fun little project to do if you want. Most won't, but it's interesting too. As you see our stock market just miraculously bounce off the bottom, that we had a 3-week bear market before the federal government started handing out dollars, universal basic income, corporate bailouts, and the Federal Reserve started printing endlessly to prop up the bond market. We had a three-week bear market and then took off to the races. And now we're at 30,000. You ought to take a look at the Venezuelan stock market. I got to tell you, some pretty impressive returns. I didn't do it. I think I took a phone call when I was going to look up the Zimbabwe stock market too. But the Venezuelan one is probably something more people are kind of familiar with. You understand they're a socialist country. Well, their stock market has been doing great. Now, I wouldn't imagine if you walked the streets of Caracas, you'd be really impressed with their main street there, but their stock market has just taken off. And obviously, it's because their currency is slowly, slowly dying. Anyway, very depressing to see that. It is interesting, too. Donald Trump talked about all of the records in the stock market. And again, my consistency compels me to ask, I didn't give Barack Obama any credit for all of the records his stock market set during his term. You know that if you look at a stock chart from about 2009, through today, you can't tell where Trump started and Obama left. The market has just been on a steady rise. It's been the longest bull market. Well, I guess now it was interrupted by a bear in March, but Barack Obama was setting all kinds of records. I did not give him a lick of credit for that because I knew it wasn't Barack Obama. It was anyone, the Federal Reserve that was pumping these asset prices up had nothing to do with Barack Obama. Ditto for Donald Trump. Now, he gave some tax cuts that helped some corporations out and maybe freed a little bit of cash. I love tax cuts. It's a shame it didn't come with spending cuts because, again, a tax cut without a spending cut is just a loan taken out that you're going to force your grandchildren to pay for. But it was the Federal Reserve that pumped up the market to the levels it's at right now. And you will notice I made another prediction along with my COVID isn't over on November 4th, I told you. I think I've been vindicated in that one. I also told you that the stock market's not going to crash if Joe Biden wins. Donald Trump said, oh, the market's going to go through the floor. You're going to be so sorry if Joe Biden wins. Well, a lot of people think Joe Biden has won, including Wall Street, and the market continues to go up. And it was because I told you at the time, the market doesn't care who's in office. The market doesn't care who controls the Senate or the House. As long as the Federal Reserve is printing money endlessly, the markets will go up. And this will work until it doesn't. But the markets aren't going up based just on a vaccine. The markets aren't going up because they think Joe Biden's going to be good for the economy. Matter of fact, the markets may be going up because they think Joe Biden's going to be bad for the economy. And if Joe Biden's bad for the economy, that means the Fed will print even more money. You see how you catch on to this game if you start paying attention? It's about the Federal Reserve, not about Obama, not about Trump, not about Biden. It's about the monetary printing presses that help Wall Street and are crushing Main Street. I'm certainly not going to cheer for that.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I run across the headline during the break. Americans raid savings to prop up spending as incomes slide in October. Ooh, we are living in some weird times. I guess I'm one of the few that notice them or care to comment on them. But anyway, I ran across this too. We're going to talk a little bit of foreign policy stuff. There's things going on right now that I find kind of concerning. I'm just going to bring them up today. But I saw this in light of talking about the stock market and the debt, the endless money printing, all of these things, the money that we've spent This story was out yesterday, a report from the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank. Boy, I used to love Heritage Foundation. They still do some decent work, but boy, are they some establishment players. Now listen to this and tell me why this sounds weird to you. The Navy and Marine Corps are only, quote unquote, marginally capable of meeting America's national security needs, according to a new scorecard from the Heritage Foundation. The conservative think tank's 2021 index of U.S. military strength had more than 20 authors take a look at the global operating environment and the mission of each branch of the U.S. military, it said. The Marine Corps is trending in the right direction, experts said, but the Navy trending in the wrong direction has the potential to pull the Marine Corps down with it. Now listen to these numbers here. A fleet roughly 100 ships too small, mixed with shipyards, quote, overwhelmed by the amount of repair work needed, unquote, has put the Navy heading straight towards a weak rating, according to the report. The Heritage Foundation report recommends that the Navy have 400 battle force ships the Navy is building toward a fleet of... That can't be right. Oh, they recommend 400 battle force ships the Navy is building towards a fleet of 355 ships as required by law, but has stumbled several times on its way to growing the fleet. The Navy currently has less than 300 ships. So the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank out there, a pretty much militarist organization, says we're just not in the Navy, in the Marines. We're not ready. We're marginally ready to do anything. And I am so confused by this, because my understanding was that we rebuilt the military spending $2.5 trillion during the Trump administration. Where the hell did that money go? Now, I don't know. It's very hard for us to wrap our minds around these numbers. As I said, you know, a trillion now is just a word to most people. And because you start getting multiples of trillions, the debt at $27 trillion, it's really a number too big for the human mind to comprehend. My favorite statistic being a trillion seconds. If you were to count to a trillion, one number for each second, it would take you 32,000 years. That's something that is still hard to grasp, but it shows you the enormity of it. And $2.5 trillion extra was poured into the military during the Trump administration to rebuild the military. You got the Heritage Foundation coming out, and it's not enough. We're not ready. And this is the black hole that is government spending. There will never be enough, particularly if you want to build an empire, which is what they've attempted to do. I would imagine there were headlines carved into clay tablets back in the Roman times that said some of the same things as they continue to debase their currency. You know what the Romans did, right? See, we do it now with a computer. I'll give this lesson real quick. I've given it before. If you have the one rookie Mickey Mantle baseball card, it's worth a ton of money. Now, I'm not a baseball card collector. I'm just using this as an example. If you have one of 10, it's still worth a lot of money, but not as much as if there was only one in the entire world. Now, if there was 100, obviously they're not as valuable as if there were just one, because 100 people have them. And if there were 50,000 Mickey Mantle rookie cards, you can imagine they're not that rare. They're not worth that much. And that's like the U.S. dollar. Every time they print more money, they dilute the value of every dollar that is out there. And they have destroyed so far during the course of the Federal Reserve since 1913, they have just reduced the value of the U.S. dollar by about 98%. And that's hard for people to understand, too, because we're living off of that 2% right now, but they are going to erode that away as well. But it is stunning to me that there is just no way. The Roman Empire, what they did, see, they didn't have a printing press. They didn't have all the masters of the universe. They didn't have a computer screen. There is some guy at the Federal Reserve, I guess, that has a computer screen. They go, Hank, send J.P. Morgan another $5 billion. Okay. Send. Tap, 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 send. And it's done. The Roman Empire, what they had to do was they had gold coins. And when they started running a little low and they needed to spend some more money to bolster their empire, send money out into the far regions to their military, they'd said, oh, we don't really have enough gold to pay these people. Okay, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take lead. We're going to mix lead with the gold. That'll make our gold go further. Well, obviously, a gold coin is worth more than a coin that is gold and lead. And so they said, well, we'll just add about 5% lead to these coins. They'll go a lot further. Okay. I did that for a while, and still, they said, oh, we still can't. We can't make it. All right, well, make them 10% lead, and then 20% lead, and then 50% lead. And soon they had a coin that was barely any gold at all, and that's when the Roman Empire fell. Because nobody wanted to take their stupid coins. They weren't worth anything. They were just lead. And this is what we've done with our empire here, and most people have gone along with it, not seeing it. And the reason is because much like the Roman citizens thought they were invincible. We are the Roman Empire. Nothing could happen to us. No one dares challenge us. The fall of the Roman Empire wasn't a nuclear weapon. It wasn't China taking them over. It was the fact that they collapsed under their own weight of building that empire. And I'm going to take a break and come back because when it comes to empire, there are some things rumbling right now. Ah, boy. Donald Trump has recently brought a couple of pretty decent people into his Defense Department, mostly Douglas MacGregor. And that's pretty encouraging. He got rid of the Raytheon executive at the Pentagon. But I don't know exactly what these moves mean. But I know Douglas MacGregor is certainly better than the people he's had in there for the past 4 years. But there are headlines coming out right now. I'm just going to give you a heads up on this. We only got one more segment before we go over into the health show. But there's some concerning things that are happening right now in the Middle East. I don't know. I'll let you make up your own mind about it when we come back. Stay with me.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
Yesterday, Joe Biden rolled out his national security team. Now, I have not investigated each one of them by name yet. Really just hadn't had the time since yesterday, but I'm expecting to find some pretty horrible things. Globalists, corrupt people, industry insiders, people that have been profiting off of world either diplomacy or war. I expect to find those things. I didn't expect to find it in the Trump administration when he was elected, but I will get to and take care of any people in the Biden administration. It will be a truly horrible administration, I'm expecting. But if Trump is not going to be reelected, and I think there's some lawsuits are being filed this week or today, actually, by Lynn Wood, that's going to be interesting to see. But right now, my concern is looking at the Middle East, if Trump is not reelected. In the past week, Saudi Arabia, Israel, and Mike Pompeo have all had these little meetings over the past week. Israel has also been bombing Iranian-backed militias in Syria. And I've been kind of warning about this, that if Trump didn't have a second term, Sheldon Adelson, who is the Republican George Soros, he's funneled about $300 million into the Republican Party, and he wants this war with Iran. That's what he wants. Now, I hope Trump doesn't give him that war. But there are some concerning things going on, because I heard about these meetings, and I thought, well, that's not necessarily a good thing. In the waning days of a Trump administration, Mike Pompeo was on Brett Baer's show last night. He was not as confident of a second Trump administration. He didn't talk about Biden taking over, but he didn't make the bold statement that Trump was going to stay in office this time around. And there have been these little meetings, a secret meeting between Benjamin Netanyahu and the king of Saudi Arabia. And then in the last day, I've seen these stories. The Yemeni Houthis have fired their new cruise missile, the Quds 2, at a Saudi Aramco oil company distribution station in the kingdom city of Jeddah. The group's media news wing announced early in November 23rd, a spokesperson for the armed forces of the Houthi-led government, Yahya Saraya, said foreign companies and residents in Saudi Arabia should stay away from the military and all its infrastructure and oil infrastructure of Saudi Arabia as operations will continue. So the Yemeni Houthis that have been in a war with Saudi Arabia for 5 years that for some reason we're participating in are starting to fire. That's one warning sign. Then I saw this. This was just today this came out. An oil tanker in the Red Sea has been subject of a mysterious attack while it was anchored at the Saudi port city of Shuqaq, who knows, on the Red Sea, reportedly after a mine exploded. So a lot of things are going on in the Middle East that are setting up for a possible conflict with Iran. I'm waiting for Iran to be blamed for the attack on the Saudi oil pipeline through their proxies in Yemen. And now if Iran is blamed for the sabotage of this tanker in a Saudi port. And then there was this story also. This was in Axios. And look, I take every one of these news organizations with basically a grain of salt. But when these different stories that are not from the dishonest media here start to line up, it makes you start to wonder about them. This was from Axios. The Israeli Defense Forces have in recent weeks been instructed to prepare for the possibility that the U.S. will conduct a military strike against Iran before President Trump leaves office. Israeli government instructed the IDF to undertake the preparations not because of any intelligence or assessment that Trump will order such a strike, but because senior Israeli officials anticipate, quote, a very sensitive period ahead of Biden's inauguration on January 20th. Boy, I hope Donald Trump does not have any ideas about trying to deliver on this war, this Sheldon Adelson warmonger's war. Now, I know a lot of you are already convinced that we need to bomb Iran because you've fallen for the same kind of propaganda that led to war with Iraq. And as propaganda works best, it comes from somebody you know and trust. And that would be the Trump administration. If Trump says it's a good war, it must be a good war. This is how I fell for the Bush invasion of Iraq in 2003. Well, it's George Bush, and I voted for George Bush, and I'm a Republican. So if he says we need to go to war with Iraq, we must need to go to war with Iraq. This is exactly how I fell for it, and I'm seeing people do the exact same thing now. But for those of you who don't want to see us attack Iran, beware of the false flag. This may be this bombing of the tanker in the Saudi port smells like it. It was another one of these. We had these a couple of years ago or a year ago. A couple of tankers were attacked. Didn't cause any catastrophic damage. Didn't cause any oil slicks. Didn't cause any leaking. It was above the water line. It was just enough to say, oh, look at this. We've been attacked. But not enough to cause any real problems that they would have to clean up and deal with. And we started kicking off hostilities with Iran after that happened. It seems like this feels like it's coming from the same playbook. But they will use some of these things to tell you that they had to attack. Hopefully Trump will refuse to give Sheldon Adelson this war he paid for. But he brought in at least one good person to the Pentagon. And as I say, it's this Douglas McGregor guy. So hopefully that's not the case. There was the story from the New York Times, of course, that said that Trump had asked his senior advisors about a military strike on Iran. I am with everybody else and not trusting the New York Times on it, but when I see Mike Pompeo going over and having meetings with Saudi Arabia and Israel, and Israel and Saudi Arabia having meetings together, that does not bode well. But they will come up with this reason. They'll give you a reason why they were being aggressive and we needed to attack now. Now, there is a chance that Joe Biden will normalize some relations with Iran and get us back in the nuclear deal. And a lot of you Trump supporters, a lot of Republicans will just say, oh, that's just terrible. The deal Trump needed to get us out of it. Peace is better than war. And you know that when it comes to Syria. You know that when it comes to Iraq. You know that when it comes to Afghanistan. You're wanting Trump to get into peace deals with these things and get our kids home. For the life of me, I don't know. I just want to say, show me on the doll where the bad Iranian government touched you. Now, I'm not in love with the Iranian government. I've said it a million times because everybody's simple mind goes to, oh, he's just an Iran apologist. He's a Russia apologist. No. I'm a person who understands that other countries have their own sovereign governments, and it's not our decision on who does what, where, when, and how. And unfortunately, it is up to the people in Iran if they don't like their government, which is a government that's there because we essentially put them there. For those of you who don't know about the overthrow of Iran in 1953, where we overthrew a very popular, it would be like the Chinese coming over to the United States and overthrowing Donald Trump. Now, that may be the case, right? A lot of you think that China's involved in the hacking and the vote switching and these kinds of things. And it doesn't seem to me you're very happy about it. Well, that's what we did to Iran back in 1953, and we installed one of our strongmen that would play ball with the United States, and we took a tremendous amount of their national wealth from them through our oil companies who exploited Iranian oil. This is not anti-American, anti-patriotic. It's just facts. We wouldn't want it done to us. We shouldn't do it to other countries. Supposedly, I mean, oil's plentiful now. We're awash in oil. We're oil. We're energy independent. So why we're still tinkering around in the Middle East is very strange to me, but this is definitely a time to be on alert. I almost feel like the holidays might be a really bad time. While everybody's really distracted, now might be the time to launch a strike. And there are people within the Trump administration who want this war. Mike Pompeo wants this war. If he thinks he's on his way out, this is a kind of a cornered snake scenario of how they will lash out. And again, I apologize for my relentless consistency here. It doesn't matter who is starting a war. I couldn't stand the fact that Barack Obama started like five of them. I just wasn't on air to tell you how disgusted I was with the warmongers and the neocons in the Obama administration and how they tricked the peace and love liberal into supporting endless wars. Barack Obama started the activity in Yemen. He actually said, it's a quoted word, but I don't know the context of the entire sentence, but he said, we did this just to, quote, placate, unquote, the Saudi government. See, Barack Obama signed this nuclear deal with Iran, and that made the Saudis mad because the Saudis and the Iranians, not buddies. And so they said, all right, well, since we did that, we'll go ahead and help you bomb the poorest country in the Middle East and slaughter hundreds of thousands of innocent people in Yemen. This is American foreign policy. Yeah, we did what we wanted over there, so we'll help you slaughter a few million people over here, if that'll placate you, if you'll just do that. But Trump has kept it going. As a matter of fact, they tried to stop the war in Yemen, and Donald Trump vetoed the stopping of the war in Yemen. And again, I'm sorry for the consistency that I have in these issues. I don't care who perpetrates or perpetuates wars in any of these countries, whether they got an R or a D or their name is Trump or Obama. None of it's good. Too many people are looking at these things through partisan lenses. I'm just warning you, these false flags seem to be kind of lining up. Hopefully I am dead, dead, dead wrong. See you next hour. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and you are joining us on a Wednesday. Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, we take a deep dive into nutrition, reclaiming, taking back your health in a segment called Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use. And today we're going to have Mary Jo Perry is going to be calling in a little bit here, and we're going to talk to her a little bit about the vaccine issue. Talked a lot about it over the course of months, but we are now weeks away from the shots coming. And all we seek to do is to inform people. I'm interested to get Mary Jo's take on what an mRNA vaccine is. This is a brand new technology. She is with, by the way, if you don't know Mary Jo, she's a regular here on WIAB, but she is with the Mississippi Parents for Vaccine Rights. So she is in the issue. She is not an anti-vaxxer. She is not a conspiracy theorist. She is about informed consent, as am I, understanding what it is they are asking you to plunge into the bloodstream of your children. This seems like a perfectly normal question to me, but to a lot of people, it's some kind of heresy and conspiracy theory. So we're going to talk about those. I start off every show by explaining to you I am not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, not a biologist, not an immunologist, not a vaccinologist. I'm not a surgeon, I'm not a nurse, I'm not a therapist, I'm nothing. I've got no certification. I'm not seeking to advise anybody on anything having to do with their own health. I am trying to get you to start doing a little bit of research. I am trying to get you to start questioning a lot of the things you're putting into your body, whether it's food or vaccines. Cleaning chemicals around your house, I talk about. There's a lot of things people just blindly do, and we're all just so shocked that we're all so sick all the time. We've got all these chronic conditions, and we're so immunocompromised that COVID is making its mark with us. It does not have to be that way. You can bolster your immune system, and that would be one great place to start. I don't usually do. I start every show that I do with quotes of the day. I don't normally have them on my health show in particular, but I ran across this, and it's not from a health person. It's from Paul Craig Roberts. He used to be head of the, I think he was assistant secretary of the Treasury or something. He was an editor at Wall Street Journal at one point, but he does a lot of kind of opinion blogging and stuff now. And here's a piece that he's got out that drew my attention. He said this, this is Paul Craig Roberts. He said, COVID is a real virus. It is a threat to a small minority of the population, primarily people with poor immune systems and comorbidities. There are inexpensive ways of boosting immune systems with supplements such as zinc, vitamin C, and D3, beta-glucan, and NAC. But public health officials have not educated the public about the value of supplements in the COVID battle. The reason is so-called public health officials are shills for Big Pharma's profits, and Big Pharma regards good immune systems as a hindrance to profits. And I got to tell you, there's almost no other conclusion to come to. I heard Thomas Dobbs last night in the news. All of our health authorities are out there screaming from the top of their perches about Thanksgiving and bringing people together. And I'm going to say something surprising now. I didn't have a problem with what Thomas Dobbs said. I almost never have a problem with what Thomas Dobbs says. I might disagree with it, but it's fine. He's one of the voices out there advising us on COVID. And what he said was, this is a time where you're going to bring young people, maybe back from colleges where they've been around a lot of people, and you're going to mix them with middle-aged parents and elderly relatives. And this could be a problem. And you know what? He's right. And to my knowledge, Thomas Dobbs and Tate Reeves have not insisted, have not mandated, have not forced us to cancel Thanksgiving. They are not forcing us to keep our gatherings under six people or only so many households can gather together. So Thomas Dobbs yesterday was giving a warning, and he was giving his advice, and he was saying this is a time to be careful. I don't have a problem with that. Now, I disagree with a whole lot of things he's done, and I'd certainly disagree with the idea that masks are the answer to this thing, because every chart I see that shows cases and when they started mask mandates certainly illustrates the fact that masks quite simply don't work. As my new saying is, virus gonna virus. I think this show is as valuable for protecting yourself from COVID as anything that health authorities say, because what I try to do here each and every week is help you improve your immune system, your immune response to any of these things, be regular colds, flus, or coronavirus. But I did not have a problem with him telling people this is a disease. And it may just be a bad flu. To many people, it's just a minor flu. To a lot of people, it's nothing. Positive tests are vast numbers of those are essentially false positives when it comes to an infection. They may have the thing in them somewhere, but it's not a danger to them developing an infection or to being contagious to anybody else. This is where the hysteria lies. But to some people, this can be a bad flu. And a bad flu is bad for some senior citizens across the board every single year. And if you know you've got a bad flu going around, or if you know you've got COVID going around, then there is some cause for some level of concern. To me, the problem is the hysteria, the treating this like this is some kind of an alien thing that has come to our planet we've never seen before, and not telling the people how to bolster their own immune system. Because if the masks don't work, and again, I'm telling you, the evidence is, and the documentation is, that masks are not the cure-all. If they don't work and a virus is gonna virus, then your best defense for your own personal outcomes and the outcomes of your friends and your family and the people that you're around is to have a strong immune system. And you can do that through what Paul Craig Roberts talked about, vitamin C, vitamin D. He mentions beta-glucan, which I haven't covered, and NAC, which I haven't covered, so I'd have to look those up, see what those are. But exercise, fresh air, vitamin D, vitamin C, quercetin, these kinds of things are natural ways to bolster your immune system. And boy, if the masks aren't working, if you can't social distance, if you won't live your life in a closet or in a hole somewhere, wouldn't it be nice to go around knowing that even if you are exposed to this, if it gets in through the mask, which it will, wouldn't it be nice to have your own body protect yourself from this thing? It seems to me to be the most common sense approach to this. And the fact that the medical establishment from Anthony Fauci to Redfield or whatever his name is at the CDC, all the way down to Thomas Dobbs and even local physicians are not harping on the fact, hey, this is the time to cut the crap out of your diet that causes your immune system to react to all kinds of chemicals and other things. Give it a rest, bolster it with vitamin C, vitamin D, and get it ready to fight this thing because a virus is sweeping across our country and you need to be prepared for it. The fact that they do not say those things tremendously damages their credibility with me because it's not junk science. I'm living proof. I haven't had a sick day in 15 years. I'll tell you a quick story real quick. I think I've told before. When I first changed my diet to organic food, I was about 2 years into it, and I owned a janitorial company. We cleaned several medical facilities. And there were times where we didn't, you know, staff wouldn't show up, and my business partner and I might have to go into a medical facility and clean the place ourselves. And this was in the winter, come out of the freezing cold and go into these medical clinics at night after hours and have to clean them up. And I remember so distinctly, I can still feel the breeze on my face. You know, in the corner, they would have the big trash cans where they rip those paper guards, you know, the paper that keeps coming down on the table. You sit on an examination table and you got that crunchy paper underneath you. Well, every time somebody leaves, they rip that paper off and throw it into this little trash can. By the end of every day, that trash can was overflowing. All the paper from all these patients that had come in were up over the top, and I would have to push it down into a bag. And I remember every single one, and I would do this for maybe 18 exam rooms at the height of cold and flu season. But I was on an organic diet, and I was taking vitamin C, I was taking vitamin D, I was doing those things for my immune system. I would have to push those pieces of paper down into a trash can, and I could feel the breeze. If you've ever shoved stuff down into a trash can, the air is displaced at the bottom and it puffs up into your face. And I would do this many, many, many times and never did anything land on me. Now, I find it hard to believe that in 18 exam rooms in a medical facility in the middle of the winter, I was not exposed to some levels of coronaviruses, particularly, which are colds, or for some influenza. It was blowing into my face, yet it didn't lay a finger on me. I never got sick. And it was one of my kind of first aha moments, because the first few times I did that, I thought, uh-oh, this is going to be a problem. I'm going to be sick tomorrow. But you can improve your immune system. It is much better than hiding in a closet for 9 months. All right, when we come back, I think we'll get Mary Jo Perry on the line. We're going to talk about the vaccines today, so please stay with me. Be right back. All night with the King.
food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul. You're on your own.
All right, we're going to take a few minutes here. Cover some other stuff real quick. We're waiting on Mary Jo Perry to join us. Talk about vaccines, what's coming down the pike, how she sees us handling it here in Mississippi. But I've got some other stories I wanted to get to today, so I'll go ahead and do that now. There was a study that came out yesterday or day before yesterday that was pretty widely reported that I thought was interesting. And it was about the fact that vegans, vegetarians are more likely to break bones. Now, this is kind of a long-running debate between people. And there's one person, I almost hope she's not listening today. I've got a vegan that I really like. She is just in super fantastic shape. She's middle-aged woman, looks fantastic, tons of energy, and she is a true true believer in being vegetarian. I think she's got some moral objections to killing animals too, which I can understand, but I think it's kind of tough to fight our biology on these things. We are omnivores, after all. That is the nature of planet Earth, is that animals eat other animals, largely. But anyway, I have toyed with the idea of trying vegetarian or vegan last year. It might have even been earlier this year, until I really looked into it a little bit more solidly. Now, look, where vegetarians and vegans definitely have it right, most of us are eating a whole lot of garbage. And I would say if you're eating a standard American diet, you're eating a bunch of processed food, you're ingesting a bunch of chemicals, you're drinking a lot of sodas, eating a lot of things out of bags and boxes, and you switch over to a whole food, raw vegetarian diet or lightly cooked vegetables for your health is going to improve. What I discovered is I kind of toyed with it because I do these kind of body hacks. You know, I'll try fasting, I'll try keto, I'll try paleo, I'll try these different things just to see how they make me feel. It's like a hobby to me. And as I researched it before I decided to try a month or so as a vegetarian or a vegan, is that it just didn't look like it was complete. And even when I listened to vegans and vegetarians, they said, well, we do have to supplement with a few other things. We just can't get through our diet. And to me, that just sends off a message to me that goes, well, that's not how we're biologically designed then. We must need some meat. Now, here was the story about this for vegans and vegetarians breaking more bones. A lack of calcium, iron, and vitamin B12 could mean the rise in popularity of veganism causes some bone health problems. Non-meat eaters, especially vegans, are at higher risk of breaking their bones due to lower intakes of calcium and protein, according to new research by the University of Oxford published on Monday. The EPIC Oxford study, and that's all capitalized, EPIC, not just descriptor. The EPIC Oxford study, which involved almost 55,000 British people, concluded non-meat eaters, especially vegans, had higher risk of either total or some site-specific fractures, particularly hip fractures. This is the first prospective study of the diet group with both total and multiple specific fracture sites in vegetarians and vegans, and the findings suggest that bone health in vegans require further research. Report said, quote, compared with meat eaters, vegetarians and vegans had a higher risk of total fractures after adjustment for co-founders. Overall, vegans in this study had higher risk of total and some site-specific fractures, hip, leg, vertebra, than meat eaters. The study just went on to say, quote, these risk differences might be partially explained by the lower average BMI, that's the body mass index, and lower average intakes of calcium and protein in the non-meat eaters. However, because the difference remained specifically in vegans, after accounting for these factors, other unaccounted for factors may be important. I can't remember the documentary it was that kind of sent me on. I think it was something about sports nutrition. Some athletes have had some real success with vegetarian diets or vegan diets. There have also been athletes. Who was it? It might have been Cam Newton, quarterback for, I guess, the Patriots now, used to be for the Carolina Panthers. After he went vegan, started having some bone health and joint health problems himself, and a lot of people laid that at a vegan diet. As I explored it more, and this is the thing about documentaries, they'll get you fired up about something. But you got to continue to do your research and consult with people or look for, you know, medical people that you trust and you believe in their opinions and continue to research it. And by the time I came out of it, it just came to me to be kind of apparent that human beings are designed to eat some level of meat. This study even studied, I think, some pescatarians, meaning they also included fish, but they didn't eat any red meat, any white meat, chicken, pork, anything like that. But I think biologically, I try to always take it back to long before there was nutritional science, long before there was refrigeration and grocery stores, what did the human animal need to survive? What are our teeth made for? And it certainly appears that we have got omnivore teeth, meaning we've got flesh-ripping teeth in the front and masticating flat teeth in the back, which means we have been designed to rip flesh and to also crunch up fruits and vegetables. So it just seems to me we're omnivores. But anyway, if you are on a vegan or vegetarian diet because you tried to reclaim your health, you might have had some success with it. God love you. At least you're trying to do something. Very few people actually take any action. And committing to being a vegetarian or a vegan is not easy if you're coming off of a standard American diet. Vegan vegetarianism, probably with some supplementation, is better than standard American diet. But I think we're missing the boat if you just cut out all meat across the board. Seems that the human animal is designed to have it. I've got another segment here on eggs, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to take a break right now. I'm a big fan of eggs. There's a good clip I've got on the nutritional benefits of eggs. Eggs have been so demonized, like avocados and the sun. Our medical establishment told us to stay away from eggs. I've disagreed with that, basically based on my father, who I always had great health his whole life and ate two eggs every single morning of his life. But I've got a clip on that I want to play. But we'll take a break, see if we get Mary Jo Perry on the phone to talk about vaccines. I'll be right back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No, bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and today is Wednesday, so we're doing Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. And I wanted to reach out to the vaccine stuff. Is getting real now. We've talked about it as it's been developed. There was certainly a lot of talk about a vaccine, Operation Warp Speed and all that stuff, so we've kind of talked about the idea of a new vaccine coming, but it is at our doorstep now, and the anticipation is that the FDA will give approval for emergency use approval on December 11th, and they are predicting that I think tens of millions of people will be vaccinated by the end of December, and then it just goes up from there. So I wanted to get on with us Mary Jo Perry from Mississippi Parents for Vaccine Rights. Mary Jo, are you with me?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming. Well, like I say, this thing is getting real now. I mean, we are apparently, from what we understand, probably weeks away from this thing starting to be put into people's arms. So I wanted to cover a couple of things. One, is kind of what an mRNA vaccine is. Has it ever been used before? What's, you know, how is this rolling out? And then talk a little bit about the state of Mississippi. So tell us what you know about this particular vaccine.
Sure. Well, what we know is that all of the vaccine candidates that are vying for approval with the FDA are using a never-before lipid nanoparticle-based carrier system and it's going to be like encapsulated in a chemical that's abbreviated as PEG. And this is controversial because of the well-documented adverse events to this chemical. What it does three things. It causes the hyperinflammatory response. It's called an adjuvant. It protects the vaccine from degradation, and it transports the antigen virus particles into our cells. mRNA stands for messenger RNA. We don't have any evidence at this point that it's not going to change our DNA permanently. It has to be stored at -94 degrees. So that means that everyone that's going to be giving this vaccine in their clinic or in their facility is going to have a special freezer for it.
Now, that's that's just the Pfizer vaccine, right? Didn't Moderna has come out and said theirs just needs regular refrigeration? And then I think I heard AstraZeneca come out and say that theirs was, you know, even more stable than that. It's like every announcement they try to make it a little bit better.
Well, everybody's vying for the, you know, for the first position. So,
right.
I know that Pfizer BioNTech has applied for emergency use, and I believe Moderna may have as well. So they're all in a race, and they're trying to one up each other on efficacy, and the efficacy studies are kind of shoddy if you really look at them. So and the safety studies. So
well, those efficacy studies too that they've presented so far have been just company. Almost a press release. My understanding was that, unless it's changed in the last few days, but as of last week, that these weren't peer-reviewed studies of these things. This was essentially just the company giving out information and giving their numbers, but it really hasn't been parsed through yet.
No, that's right. That's right. I mean, you know, with Warp Speed, they don't have time for that. So what the FDA will do is look at what they have and just make the decision, you know, whether or not they're going to accept that, which I think we all know that they just will. But ACIP met. ACIP is the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, and they've been having a lot of extra meetings with the coronavirus vaccine coming out. But they met earlier in the week, and the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices is this panel of doctors and, you know, various experts they meet and they make decisions about vaccines for the country, and then they advise our CDC, which then advises the states, you know, on what we should be doing regarding vaccines. So there was a lot of concern discussed at that meeting that the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are going to require two doses. And Dr. Sandra Fryhofer, who is the American Medical Association's director, her concern is that will patients come back, because it's not going to be her words were a walk in the park.
Yeah, I did that story yesterday. Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, I actually had coronavirus earlier in the month, and the symptoms that they described from the vaccine are exactly the symptoms that I had with coronavirus. It's, you know, muscle aches, fever, severe headaches. And so, you know, they're concerned that people are not going to come back for a second dose, because these vaccines are going to require two doses, Pfizer and Moderna's are. And so if someone comes in and they feel terrible, like they have coronavirus after the first vaccine, will they come back in for the second one? So that's something that they were discussing. And should they warn people, you know, what to expect? And there's even been discussion of changing the description from adverse event to immune response.
Oh, that's clever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
and to tell people to expect it.
So is that now my understanding of this is there is no like with some vaccines, don't they put some either live or dead virus into the vaccine to get your body to identify that, build up antibodies and be ready to attack it if you got it in the wild? But the coronavirus vaccine, why is it causing the same symptoms of coronavirus? Because my understanding was there is no coronavirus in this vaccine.
Well, they're using a spike protein to cause your body. The idea is, and it's a very sophisticated technology, but the idea is to cause your body to create sort of an antigen response of its own. So that's what makes this vaccine completely different from any vaccine that we have ever used before.
And haven't they been trying for about 20 years to come up with a coronavirus vaccine before? I mean, regardless of the hook proteins and all that stuff, but they've been trying for 20 years and have failed to produce a coronavirus vaccine, correct? And when I say coronavirus, that's like a common cold.
Right. So coronaviruses are very numerous and very common. Actually, dogs get coronaviruses, and we vaccinate dogs for coronaviruses. But they have because, you know, coronaviruses have been around forever. And, you know, I think probably, I don't know if on your show or if maybe with Jim, we've discussed how eventually they're going to come out with a vaccine for the common cold. So, yes, they have been working on that, and they've never been able to get one to work. So, you know, this warp speed has been kind of scary because we don't really know. They haven't had the time with this new technology to really see what it's going to do to people long term. You know, we're using messenger RNA, ushering this spike protein into our cells and causing our bodies to produce, you know, an antigen response. And we just don't know long-term what that's going to do. We haven't had the time to look at that.
Right. Anthony Fauci did a thing the other day. I don't remember if I played the clip on this show or not, but he did something addressing the people's concerns. And one of the things he tried to address was he said, well, people are worried because this thing is rushed. And he said, but what you don't understand is all the new technologies that make these things quicker, the process quicker. This, you know, this new process we have cuts years off of the development and the growth of these things and this and that. But the glaring thing he leaves off at the end is safety testing over a period of time
safety studies.
Yeah, is what seems to be most important to me and to me considering it for my children. I don't really care how quick you came out with something. That's not near my concern. I mean, it is a concern, but my main concern is I want to see this develop, you know, put out into a population and see, particularly when you're talking about RNA and DNA and a new technology, because in my mind, just intellectually, I think that sounds like something that could be years down the road before we know any true adverse effects. I mean, that's not
right. And you know, drug companies are the biggest defrauders of the federal government under the False Claims Act. And here we're going to be forced to depend on their rushed safety studies without any independent long-term safety studies. And they're in competition, you know, like we talked about. So you know, there's real concern about this vaccine. And, you know, we've seen in the news the various trials have had to be paused because somebody died or somebody developed, you know, some sort of a severe neurological response. So it's going to be kind of risky. But, you know, people are so terrified of coronavirus that I think that we're going to see a lot more people than we expect lining up to take it.
Yeah, the numbers
that's going to give them the freedom that they're looking for.
Right. I mean, this is essentially it's almost more stick than carrot because it's basically we either do this on a large scale. You know, if there was a large movement of people who did not want to take this thing because they're worried about the safety, they will all be shamed as the people who won't allow us to reopen our society. You know, there's going to be we see vaccine shaming with every vaccine that's out there. If you dare to question it, I can't imagine the level of shaming on this thing, except for the fact that it seems to me, and you're better with these numbers than me, it seems the polling I've seen, it's only about 30% of people say it's mandatory, and there's probably a good third of people right now that are pretty hesitant on this thing. Is that more or less than normal?
I, you know, Well, it's a lot more. There are a lot more people hesitant about this than normal. And I think that we've seen widespread sort of vaccine awakening. You know, one of the concerns that we have about all of these vaccines is that they're sort of immoral and that they've used in some part of some more heavily than others production cell lines from aborted babies,
right.
You know, just like some of our childhood vaccines. And we're seeing adults become alarmed about that after we have been, you know, screaming for years, our children are being injected with vaccines that were used, you know, created using the cell lines of aborted babies. And granted, these particular vaccines will not have the DNA fragments and cell fragments in them that our children's vaccines do, like the MMR vaccine. But it's just the moral dilemma of using a vaccine that was heavily, you know, researched, developed, and produced using the cell lines of a baby that was aborted for the purpose of, you know, medical research and development.
Right. Do these vaccines, any of the three, I guess AstraZeneca, Pfizer, and Moderna. And Moderna, by the way, Moderna has never shipped a product. They have never put out a product in the history of that company. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, they're brand new.
Yeah. So this is a brand new company with a brand new technology and a brand new vaccine, and we're told to not even question it, that the people in charge are making decisions for us. Do any of these vaccines contain anything from other animals? You know, there's a lot of things they talk about, monkey viruses or things
goats.
Like that.
Yeah, I think there's some of them use goat, goat cell lines. And, I mean, it's just they're just all vaccines have to have some sort of animal or human or, you know, bugs or whatever products in their creation. There's none of them that are 100% clean of that kind of thing. So
even in this new technology of mRNA?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. My understanding, too, is that, and I just heard this maybe this morning or yesterday morning, we're not going to have a choice on which of the three. I've heard AstraZeneca may not be available in the United States. Maybe ever, but I almost find that hard to believe. But we don't get a choice. Like, you're not going to go to a doctor's office and say, I want the Moderna product. It is going to be just geographical. They're going to decide, hey, we've got a certain number of these doses. We're sending Pfizer to Mississippi and Moderna to Utah. I mean,
that, you know, that's possible. I think after a time, you know, they may all be available. Just like right now, if I wanted to go get a tetanus shot, which I did a few years ago, there was a particular one, because I had done my research, there was a particular one I was looking for. So I called around to the different clinics and was able to find the one that I wanted to use.
Right.
In the beginning, that's not going to be a possibility. It's not going to be an option for people, because they're going to have such a huge rollout and they're planning on such a huge uptake that people aren't going to have a choice in the beginning, no.
Yeah, so you're just going to, yeah. Do you have any sense?
You've got to take what's available.
Have you heard kind of the schedule? They talk about the first rounds are coming out to the most vulnerable people. Originally, in these vaccine trials, and this may have changed, I will certainly admit, originally the first tests were on just very healthy people.
Well, that's how they always test. I've not seen any vaccine safety trial yet that was done on sick people.
So have they now, I think Pfizer, the latest I saw was maybe 45 or 55,000 people were being tested on the, I think it was the Pfizer product. Names really don't even matter. But when they get the studies that big, are they testing on elderly people who are immunocompromised, or are they, because I know the drug company's thinking is, well, last thing we want to do is bring in somebody who's already sick because there's more of a risk of having an adverse effect with them. But are they doing any studies in these large tests with people that are vulnerable?
I have not seen that. I know that when they were first calling for trials, you know, I mean, I remember they were making calls for trials here in Mississippi, Hattiesburg, on the Gulf Coast, and they were asking for healthy people.
Boy, that's a little terrifying to think that maybe I shouldn't even say this, but if they're testing on healthy people, but they're going to roll it out first on people who are vulnerable, it's almost
right.
Like that's completely untested for that group of people.
Well, you know, we do that right now. There are no safety testing. There's no safety testing whatsoever, like on the flu shot or the Tdap vaccine that we're giving pregnant women. If you look at the prescribing information that comes with those vaccines that says has not been tested for safety in women, please report side effects, adverse events, and they give a number. So these women who are pregnant that are taking these vaccines are actually part of a research project, and they don't
right.
even know it.
Yeah, a rolling lifetime guinea pig
right.
research product. I mean,
right.
And
the HPV vaccine, you know, was tested in older girls, and they're now pushing it on 9-year-olds, and talking about giving it to infants. So, you know, the safety trials don't necessarily reflect the realistic population that they're going to be encouraging to take the vaccine. So
right,
and sometimes even requiring it.
All right, we got to take a quick break. If you can stick around for our last segment here, I've got a couple other questions. What do you think Mississippi? You know, what is the rollout of Mississippi? The procedure? Any thoughts on whether they're going to make this mandatory here? I got a bunch of questions on those things, and I also want to touch on, boy, there is going to be a full court press using the term anti-vaxxer. I've got an MSN story that I've pulled up. I won't read much from it because I don't want to take the time, but it essentially takes anti-vaxxers, lumps them in with flat earthers and other conspiracy theorists. And I think we may do this every time you're on the show, but I want to make sure people understand this anti-vaxxer label that people are putting to just dismiss people's legitimate concerns, I find absolutely reprehensible.
It is, and like I said, I got a tetanus vaccine a few years ago,
right.
So I'm totally not against vaccines.
Right, right. Understood. All right, we're talking to Mary Jo Perry with Mississippi Parents for Vaccine Rights. Got her for one more segment. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424. We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, talking to Mary Jo Perry, Mississippi Parents for Vaccine Rights. All right, Mary Jo, we don't have a ton of time here, but I wanted to talk about one thing is the anti-vaxxer label. Would you just explain to people your position on vaccines in general?
Sure. I believe that that's a slur meant to divide and shut down conversation. As you and I talked about just a little while ago, I actually got a tetanus shot. I think it's been about 2.5 years ago. So most of us, there are very few that are 100% against vaccines and want them banned and, you know, that kind of thing. I have a science degree. I believe in science. I think that the science of vaccines is really neat, but I also think it's kind of, and it's been spoken of among professionals as sort of the bargain basement product of medicine. There's no liability. There will be no liability for a coronavirus vaccine. So the drug companies are not liable, the government's not liable, the doctor's not liable. But this whole anti-vaccine label prevents people from having the conversations about the real safety profiles of vaccines, the fact that they're created by criminal drug companies that are the biggest defrauders of the federal government under the False Claims Act, the fact that some of them are, you know, I would like to see. In Japan, their measles, mumps, rubella MMR vaccine for children is not produced on the cell lines of aborted babies. They don't contain human DNA fragments. Because we don't have choice in the United States, you know, there's a monopoly, and we don't have it. We don't have that option. We have one MMR vaccine for our children.
Yeah.
But we need to be able to talk about these things. There needs to be free market. But what they do is they shut it down. They have mandates. There's no liability for anybody but your child or yourself, whoever is receiving the vaccine, and they're required, and nobody's liable. I mean, they have this perfect honey hole, and they call you names if you don't comply or if you ask questions.
Right,
so
and it's just
the anti-vaxxer thing to me is disgusting.
Yeah, I agree, and it's used.
Yeah,
I mean, people.
I'm not gonna name a particular make of car, but if there was a car that had faulty brakes and my brakes failed in that car and it was because of a design defect and I sounded the alarm, would I be anti-car?
Right.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
well, look, we've only got about a minute and a half left. Tell us where the state of Mississippi is. Do we have to be worried about it being mandated here? We know that Joe Biden may want it mandated. What's the fear there?
Well, so the way the law is written in Mississippi, our legislators will not—they will not be the ones to add the coronavirus vaccine to the schedule. They have delegated that power, written within the law, to our state health officer, Dr. Thomas Dobbs. He's the one that has pushed for the lockdowns and the mask mandates and all that in Mississippi. So he will be the one who can, with the stroke of a pen overnight, add a coronavirus vaccine to our childhood schedule.
Could he mandate it for adults?
I don't know. I don't think there's anything in place right now for adults. But right now what we do have in place for children is a vaccine schedule required for school. So that's what he can alter.
Okay, so we're about to run out of time, but if people wanted to stop cut it off at the pass, should they call Thomas Dobbs' office and say, we don't want this added to the schedule, we don't want it to be mandatory, or who should they call?
Yes, and especially their legislators, because our legislators they have authority over our bureaucrats. So Thomas Dobbs is a bureaucrat. And so what we need to do is call on our elected officials to put pressure on the Department of Health.
Right.
And it doesn't hurt to email and call the health department either.
Okay, great. All right. Well, unfortunately, we're running out of time. We could always talk for hours each time. Tell us how people can reach your stuff real quick.
Sure. Mississippi Parents for Vaccine Rights. We are online at mpvr.org.
Okay.
And you can join there. We're also on Facebook.
All right.
At Mississippi Parents for Vaccine Rights, but you have to leave out the word vaccine when you look us up. Mississippi Parents for Rights.
Okay.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.